You may be seated. We invite all the children of any age to come on up for just a moment together. I have a word I want to teach you this morning. It may be a word that you already know, but maybe not. Some of you, I think, maybe not able to quite read yet, but this word is steward. Steward. It's kind of an old word, but a steward is somebody who takes care of something for somebody else. So let's say I have this little plant that's an apple tree, and I need somebody to take care of it for me. I might give it to you and ask you, will you be the steward of this apple tree for me? And you say yes, so you take care of it, and you water it, and do everything, and then one day it grows into a tree, and there are all these apples, and then I come back to you as my steward and say, I would love to share these apples with a lot of different people. Well, I wonder what would happen if the steward said, no, these apples are mine. Well, that wouldn't be very nice, would it? Jesus told a story about some people who were supposed to be stewards of a farm. There was a farmer who had this big farm, and he planted it all up, and he got it ready, and he handed it off to some stewards and said, take care of this farm for me. And when the man came back, and there was harvest, and everything had made fruit and vegetables, the man said, okay, it's time to share all this produce. And the steward said, no, it's ours. We're not going to share. And Jesus told that story to tell us about what it's like to be people of God, that God gives us so many blessings, and God wants us to share those with other people. So the next time you find yourself thinking, it's mine, I don't want to share it, let's try remembering what it means to be a steward, and that God has given us all of our blessings so we can share them with other people. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have given us so many blessings. Help us to be grateful for all of the good things in our lives, all the people who love us and our schools and our friends. Help us never to be selfish with all that we have, but to share it, because it's all yours to begin with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, y'all, for listening. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. So we have all just heard this difficult parable. And at the end of it, Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who bear the fruits of the kingdom. Ouch. Therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to others who bear the fruit of the kingdom. Boy, am I glad Jesus is not talking to me. Whew. I look at this story in the middle of the 21st chapter of Matthew. He's talking to the Pharisees and the chief priests. Thank goodness. They're always the bad guys, right? And things between Jesus and those chief priests and Pharisees are really heating up and getting controversial. As Brandon shared with us last week in his sermon, the 21st chapter of Matthew begins with Jesus entering Jerusalem. We celebrate that event on Palm Sunday. And the first thing he does when he goes into Jerusalem is go into the temple and turn over all the tables of the money changers. And he points his fingers at the religious leaders and says, you have turned my father's house into a den of robbers. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. And from that moment on, they are out to get him. And they start questioning his authority. Well, who do you think you are? Who sent you here? How dare you question us and the way we do things? And so in response, Jesus tells several parables, three of them, in fact, to bring to light in the eyes of these Pharisees and chief priests how they are missing out, how the kingdom of God is right in front of them and they are blind and refusing to see it. And so this is one of the parables that he uses to point out to those religious leaders how they're missing the point. Now, as we look at this parable together, it's one of those parables that's kind of an allegory. Most scholars think that the landowner is representing God. The tenants in the story, or the stewards, are the religious leaders. The slaves or messengers that come to visit them are probably the prophets. And then the son who is sent at the end is meant to be understood as Jesus himself, the Christ. So let's look at how this story unfolds. If the landowner is like God, then God has given to these religious leaders a responsibility. They are stewards of the Word of God, stewards of the heart of God. It is their job as the leaders and shepherds of the people of God to show them who God is, to teach them how to live in God's love and compassion. But over and over again, they have gotten so focused on their rule books and deciding who is in and who's out, who's clean and unclean, what's work on the Sabbath day. They've gotten obsessed with their rituals. This is the way we're supposed to do things in the temple, and they've taken complete control and ownership of those rituals so that the Spirit of God has been banished from the temple. They're so caught up in their own authority that they're missing the kingdom of God that is right in front of them. And so over time, God would send to them messengers, the prophets. Remember the words of the prophet Amos, "All of your rituals and sacrifices mean nothing to me. They are distasteful for me because you have forgotten the poor and the widow and the orphan and the stranger in your land. You have forgotten the justice and love and compassion of God. And all you care about is your rituals and your rules and your traditions." Again and again, God sent that word through the prophets, and the religious leaders rejected them again and again. And so now Jesus is saying, "Here is before you the Son, God made flesh, living out the kingdom of God right in front of you, healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and welcoming the tax collectors and the sinners and going out on the margins and searching for the lost right in front of you. And you refuse to see it because you're so caught up in your own rules and authority and ritual and control." Jesus is giving them one last chance to open their eyes. God wants God's people to shine a light in the world of love and compassion and justice. And yet God's people so often are caught up in rules and rituals and traditions. Now I'm beginning to wonder, is Jesus talking to me? Is this really just something he was saying to those religious leaders 2,000 years ago? Or is this a parable and a story meant to open the eyes of the people of God in every age? If you're wondering about that, let me tell you another parable. Once upon a time, there was a church. Not this church. This is not one of those, "Gee, I have a friend" kind of stories. This is a parable. It's kind of a mix of a lot of different churches that I've experienced. But there was a church, and decades ago, it was a thriving church with 1,000 people in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. But over time, the neighborhood began to change. A lot of the folks with resources moved out to the suburbs, and the congregation began to shrink. But as the neighborhood changed, there were people from the neighborhood who would come to worship at the church, but they weren't welcomed. They were seen as outsiders, and they were not received with hospitality and love. And so the congregation continued to shrink and to shrink, singing the same hymns every Sunday, doing things just the way they had always done them. There was an elementary school across the street from the church that was really struggling, and one day the principal came to visit the pastor, and said, we have a lot of kids in our school who don't have anywhere to go after school and would really benefit from an after-school program. Do you think your church could host that and maybe provide some volunteers? The pastor said, oh, no, no, we can't take on that liability. And so they closed the door. Again and again, God sent messengers to that congregation, invitations to come and join the work of the kingdom of God that was going on all around them. But they were so focused on their own way of doing things and unwilling to change that eventually the doors closed on that congregation. And the kingdom of God was given to a people who would bear fruit for the kingdom. Lest we despair, let me tell you another story. And this one is a true story. And I saw it with my own eyes this week on Wednesday morning. There's a church in our United Methodist connection in Nashville, Glencliff United Methodist Church. This was a church that had experienced a good bit of decline. They're in an area that is in transition. They're sort of landlocked in many ways. And the congregation had been in decline, and they began to pray together, and they decided that they could do something with their land. And so they gave a big piece of their land to Open Table. That's the ministry that we shared our communion offering with last week, a ministry to provide housing for folks who have no housing. And so on Wednesday morning, members of Glencliff United Methodist Church, members from this congregation and other congregations in our connection gathered for groundbreaking, where they're going to build a tiny village, a village of tiny homes, so that people who are now on the streets will have a safe and loving place to live, and a congregation of God's people who will welcome them and remind them every Sunday that they are loved and that they belong. And the kingdom of God is bearing fruit among this faithful band of believers who were willing to let go of control, to try something new, and to share what they have with God. I know this parable comes across as really harsh, and it is in a lot of ways. Jesus is frustrated with these religious leaders who are so blind. And it is a word of warning to them, but really it is a word of invitation. It's actually an urgent plea for the people of God to be the people of God. So how do we hear this invitation today? What can we do? What are we doing as the people of God to live out the kingdom around us? Let us never think that this kind of parable doesn't apply to us, because they all do. They're all meant for us. But may we hear it as a word of encouragement and inspiration, because this world we live in today needs to see the kingdom of God. May we do all that we can to show it.